Welcome to the Old Tom Dragnet program. This is your host, Adam Graham, coming to you from Boise, Idaho. We have a lot of email to get to, and we begin with a very official email. Roger emails, and he says, "Adam, did not know if you'd seen this or not. I just happened across it on CNN. The Dragnet stamp is being released. And you can order it now at USPS.com. The Dragnet stamp comes in a set with 19 other early television shows. So you give a wide variety of shows that you'll get, including other ones here: Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Burns and Allen's, Ozzie and Harriet, The Tonight Show, The Twilight Zones, and The Honeymooners. Total of 20 stamps. You'll want to go to USPS.com to get this. I'm not certain your local post office will have it. But 20 stamps, self-adhesive, and you'll probably just want to save them as mementos. Do not mail. Thanks for that email, Roger. Appreciate that. And then I got an email regarding the Whistler. Lou Hoveland emails, "I heard another listener suggestion that you do a Whistler show. I love the Whistler, and I think it is one of the very best old-time radio shows, along with Suspense and, of course, Dragnet. In fact, my brother gave me all of the Whistler episodes on CD for my birthday last year. I practically know them by heart, so I would love if you did a Whistler show at some time. Also, I think also you'd ask listeners how they came upon your show. I found your show by doing a search for Old Tom Radio on iTunes. So I'm glad I found your show. You do a fantastic job." Well, thanks a lot, Lou. And that will definitely influence my thought on doing future shows. If people were just looking for Dragnet and they came across it, then that's one thing. But if they're looking for Old Tom Radio, that does kind of open the door a little bit. However, I did go ahead and listen to 4 episodes of The Whistler this past weekend. I only planned to listen to 2. Listened to 2 off the website, and I decided, you know, I think I'll go ahead and I'll listen to, you know, listen to something different. I'm going to go ahead and listen to Antioch Radio Network. As it happened, Antioch was playing 2 episodes of The Whistler. Well, for those who haven't seen it, we got a couple suggestions. Let's just go ahead and play a little clip right from the beginning of a 1942 show.
"I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And so I tell you tonight the story of the Double Cross."
Here we are. Whistler is kind of, to me, it's very reminiscent of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Was a very successful show. And Suspense is another one he mentions. Really, the power of the Whistler as a show was it rested in erotic twist, at least the 4 that we saw. This was this show ran 13 years, which, when you consider it, is a phenomenal run in radio. Suspense, which Lou also alluded to, ran for more than 20 years. In fact, continuing on into the 1960s, when radio had basically all but died, Suspense continued on for continued on into the 60s, long after Dragnet ended. They have Suspense right after The Whistler on the Antioch radio network. And the shows were interesting. What I, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying yes or no, or because I can't take on another show while Dragnet's running, which is going to be for another few years. But I guess the thing I'm going to have to ask is, do I, you know, just figure out, will be, do I want to listen to the show every week? It's a little tough just because there's, particularly on the Whistler, there's not really a good guy to root for necessarily on quite a few episodes, which would be, it'd be entirely different, because we don't get to see really actors grow into the role. You still have pretty much the same opening through the Whistler throughout the entire series, so there's no change in the actors, other than that the actors change from show to show. So it's a fascinating show, along with suspense. And I'll definitely keep that in mind. All right, well, let's go ahead and get to the comments. This is Great Entertainment. It was about a month ago that I found this podcast, and I'm starting from the beginning. I'm at the first podcast of 2008, so I have a way to go before I catch up. Anyway, if you are a Dragnet TV fan, you will like this podcast a lot. Well, thank you very much. You will hear that, actually, at this rate in about 4 or 5 months. But in advance, thanks a lot. By far, the best podcast around. Thank you. Hi, Adam. Just wanted to let you know, I tried to listen to The Big Honeymoon. All that came out was the first 8 minutes or so. Yeah, and I apologize for that. If anybody ran into this issue with The Big Honeymoon, what happened was I was doing an upload of the show, and I'd sent it off to Andrew, who does our editing, and I was downloading downloading the edited file off of his site, and I did not realize before I started to upload that I hadn't fully downloaded the episode yet. So we only got the first 8 minutes. Should not have affected too many people because we got it corrected pretty quickly. But sorry about that, Michael. Go to talkshoe.com, download again, and it should play for you like a charm. And sorry for the inconvenience there. Awesome, best podcast ever. Love it. Thanks, Adam. Thank you for those very nice comments. And we're gonna get into tonight's episode, the big phone call, in just a moment. But before we do, I want to let you know a little bit about our sponsor. GoToMyPC is recognized name in the world of remote access. People have been using it for years and years to remotely access their computer from anywhere. And the reason is it is very easy to set up, only takes 2 minutes, and you can then access your office PC from any PC in the world. So you can go out and live your life, take that trip you want to, and still be able to get on your office PC in a pinch. Try GoToMyPC free for 30 days. However, in order to get that free offer, you must go to GoToMyPC.com/podcast. That's GoToMyPC.com/podcast for your free 30-day trial. But without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into tonight's episode, The Big Phone Call.
The story you're about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all king-size cigarettes, brings you Dragnet on both radio and television.
You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a robbery detail. A jewelry salesman is slugged and robbed of $20,000 in precious stones. After months of investigation, you finally discover the man responsible for the holdup. You've got the evidence to prove him guilty. Your job? Bring him in.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
Hello, was Thursday, July 18th. It was sultry in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of robbery detail. My partner's Ed Jacobs. The boss is Captain Didigan. My name's Friday. It was 1:35 p.m. when we got back to the city hall, the interrogation room.
Come on, Mr. Garvin.
Yes, you want to call the captain, Ed, let him know we're back?
Okay.
I'd still like to know what this is all about, Sergeant, dragging you down here in the middle of the day.
I've
got an office.
Just a minute, Mr.
Yeah, I just got back. Mm-hmm. All of them? Good. Yeah, interrogation room, right?
Did I just check in yet?
Yeah, I'm back. Worked out fine.
Yes, would you please explain what this is about, why you brought me down here?
I think you know why.
Well, I don't, but I haven't any idea. You take me away from my store on a busy day. You put a police guard on it. You insist on bringing me down here. What's it all about? Tell me.
You know, you tell us, Mr. Garvey.
Tell you about what?
The jewel robbery 9 months ago, that holdup.
What holdup? My store hasn't been
robbed. Talk about your friend, Thomas Ashley.
Ashley? What about him?
I think you remember it 9 months ago, parking lot back of the building down on Foy Street.
Oh, sure. Some hold-up man slugged him, stole his case of samples, but I remember it now. Poor Tom, the thief made a big haul, didn't he?
On said diamonds, $20,000 worth.
I remember it now. I don't think Tom's gotten over it yet. He was a jewelry salesman for the same company at the time, you know, same company Tom was working for.
Yeah, we know all that.
Some of the big bosses thought Tom had a hand in it. They figured it was a put-up job. Nothing was further from the truth.
That's so?
Sure, I know Tom. He's a close friend of mine. He wouldn't be mixed up in a deal like that. Tom and I worked out of the same office for years. We've had him over the house for dinner. We've even been on vacations together. He's one of the most honest men I know.
Are you sure of all this, are you?
Of course I'm sure. So that isn't why you called me down here, is it? You don't think Tom had anything to do with that robbery, do you? You don't think he was in on it?
He had nothing to do with it. I think you know that as well as we do.
Then why am I here? There's nothing I can tell you about the holdup. Only what I heard from Tom, what I read in the
news. Now, you can tell us a lot more, Garvey. We didn't bring you here just to pass time of day.
Tom was slugged and his sample case of stones were taken. That's all I can tell.
You're a liar, mister.
What?
You engineered the whole thing, we know it, and so do you.
Was it some kind of a joke? If it is, I think it's in very
long way from a joke, Garvey. You planned the job, you got the loot. We can give you chapter and verse.
I really think you're serious. You think I robbed Tom?
We're past the thinking stage, Garvey. We already told you. We know you robbed him.
Wait a minute. This thing is ridiculous. The whole idea is ridiculous. I don't know who gave you the so-called information on me, but it's wrong. There's nothing further from the truth.
Nobody gave us the information. We got it ourselves.
You're really serious, are you? I robbed Tom, and you can prove I didn't.
You give me an idea.
I don't know what to say. Fantastic. I robbed my best friend, Tom Ashley, 9 months ago. I have $20,000 worth of diamonds, and you can prove it.
Every bit of it. What about it?
I think you're out of your mind. My name's George Garvey. Are you sure I'm the man you want? There couldn't be a mistake.
No, there's no mistake.
This thing would be funny if I didn't think you were serious. Let me ask you just one question. Maybe that'll clear it up for you.
Yeah?
If I held up Tom Ashley, how is it he didn't recognize me?
You know better than that, Garvey.
What?
You didn't hold up Tom Ashley yourself. You had someone do it for you.
Oh, cloak and dagger, huh? I'm afraid this is getting a little too wild for me, Sergeant. Maybe you can waste time making ridiculous charges. I can't. I'm going back to my store.
It's a weak bluff, mister. It's not going to do it.
Excuse me. Are you sure you two men haven't been drinking?
Sit down, Mr. Garvey.
I told you I'm going back to my store.
Sit down.
Look, you have no right to keep me here. These are ridiculous charges. You think I'm one of those cheap hoodlums you used to deal with?
No, no, come off it, mister. You've got a $5,000 car and a $40,000 home. That doesn't rate you a special treatment. You're a thief, and you know it as well as we do.
I don't have to take this from you.
You haven't got much choice. We just finished 5 months' legwork proving it.
Proving what?
All right, now sit down there. You engineered that holdup. We know who you got to do it. We know how it was carried out. We know how you planned on disposing of the diamonds. We know who your fence was. We know what the split was. We know what you did with part of the money. We know how much you got left.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
What can I say? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Any way you want it, Mr. Garvey.
Maybe you'd like to tell me why I did all this.
You know it better than we do.
No, I mean it. Tell me.
You weren't making enough money at your job to suit yourself. Suit your wife either.
That's pretty good. Marilyn would get a big kick out of that.
All right, fella. We can wait it out as long as you want. We spent 9 months on this already. Another few days, I'm going to make that much difference.
Just as a matter of curiosity, how did you first start off on this tangent? Whatever gave you the idea that I had anything to do with the holdup?
When you started to spend money. A new car, a new office for yourself, fur coat for your wife, transferred your two children to that private school.
And that makes a holdup man out of me because I wanted to send my kids to a better school?
Where'd the money come from? Can you explain that?
Don't you think that's my business, Sergeant, where I get my money, what I do with it?
How would you get it stealing?
I'm afraid you're going just a little too far. You insist I'm a thief. I'm going to insist you prove it.
All right. Have a look over here, Mr. Garvey.
Yeah?
Some of the reports on the investigation, reams of them. They cover everything from the time of the jewel robbery up to late yesterday. It's all right there. Everything from the crime reports to signed statements.
Well, how would that concern me?
3/4 of the stuff concerns you. Have a look for yourself.
I still can't get it straight in my mind. What makes you think I had anything to do with that robbery?
You know what this is, Mr. Garvey, this machine right here?
No. Some kind of recording apparatus?
That's right. It's a tape recorder.
You've been taking down this conversation, and why?
No, not this one. We've been recording every conversation that took place in your office for the last 4 months, every word.
What do you mean?
Just that, Mr. Garvey. Every time you talk on the phone, every visitor you've had, it's all down on tape, 25 reels of it.
Interesting. Is that supposed to frighten me?
No, we don't care if it frightens you or not. Something else, sir.
Yeah?
Reports on what you've been doing for the last 4 months. Daily reports, every movement you made.
That's so.
Everywhere you went, everybody you talked to, everything you did. Want to hear a sample?
This must be some kind of a joke. That's the only explanation I can think of.
May 12th, Thursday. Sergeants Bitteroff and Rafferty. Those are the two officers who were tailing you at the time. You checked in at your new office at 9:38 a.m. At 10:03 a.m., you had a visitor, Kenneth Tyson. You talked to him in your office. Conversations recorded. Tyson left at 10:18 a.m. At 10:32 a.m., you left your office.
If you're trying to impress me, I'm afraid it isn't working out very well.
You care for a cigarette, Garvey?
No, thanks. I have my own.
Right.
Well, I've wasted enough time. Exactly what's the point of all this?
Pretty simple. You're responsible for a robbery. We can prove it. We're giving you the chance to make a statement.
It's nonsense.
Is it?
Of course, people following me, checking everything I do, where I spend my money, where I send my kids to school. What's it all about? It doesn't make any sense.
All right, Mr. Garvey, we've said it before. We can wait it out as long as you want.
Look, let's get this thing straight. Let's go back to the beginning and take it step by step.
That's fine.
The holdup was last fall, wasn't it? Sometime in October?
October 7th, Monday, 5:20 in the afternoon.
All right, now just what am I supposed to have done? None of your vague references about a new coat for my wife or where I send my kids to school. Let's have some facts.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Garvey. You went to work as a jewelry salesman for the company 10 years ago. Your friend Tom Ashley, the victim, started the same year. The two of you have been pretty close friends.
That's right. I told you that.
Well, we'll skip the rest of your background for now. 2 weeks before the robbery on September 24th, you had a meeting with a Kenneth Tyson. You met in a cafeteria on South Broadway. Tyson's 19 years old. Lives with an older sister. He works in a gas station on Olympic Boulevard. He's done some work in your car for you. That's how you happen to know him.
Yes, I think I remember the boy. I don't know him well, though. I don't recall the meeting either.
No, you know the boy very well. At the time of the meeting, you promised him $1,000 if he'd hold up your friend Tom Ashley.
Ridiculous.
Tyson agreed to it, and you briefed him on the plan. The following day, you gave him a gun. .32 caliber Smith & Wesson, serial number 36274.
Nonsense. Where did you get that information?
Tyson.
Well, he's lying. Believe me, if he told you that, he's lying. Is he the one who robbed Tom?
October 7th, at your direction, he was in the parking lot behind the Hunter Crosswell building. Tom Ashley came out to get in his car. He had his case of sample diamonds with him. Tyson held him up, slugged him, took the stones, and got away.
Of course, it's obvious. Tyson's trying to say I put him up to it. He's trying to get out of it that way.
Afraid not, Mr. Garvey. Boy couldn't have carried off the holdup by himself.
Well, of course he could. It's obvious he's trying to cover up.
There were 6 people in the company you worked for who knew that on Mondays that Ashley always took the case of sample diamonds alone when he made his calls. Only on Monday. You were one of the people who knew that.
I suppose you've considered the other 5 people.
They were all checked out at the time. They were all cleared. You along with him.
But I'm not clear anymore, is that it? This young hoodlum Tyson, you're willing to take his word over mine?
After the robbery, he took the case of diamonds to you. That was the next day. You paid him $500 and promised him the other $500 when he got rid of the stones.
Oh, I suppose I've gotten rid of them, or do I still have them?
2 months after the holdup, he contacted a fence up in San Francisco. He drove up there and sold him some of the stones, and he broke them up and sold them. We know who he sold them to. We know what he got for them.
Well, this fence, he's supposed to be another good friend of mine.
He's still doing business with him. His name's Fred Lawrence.
Who went on me? I don't know any Fred Lawrence. Can't even recall the name.
Well, maybe this will help you, Mr. Garvey. Listen to a little tape recorder. It's real poor, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. All labeled there right on the back of the box.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, what's all this about?
A phone conversation, Mr. Garvey. One of the things we reported from your office. I told you about it before. Let's see. This one was on March 18th.
I always thought wiretapping was against the law, or do you pay any attention to that?
We didn't tap your telephone line. We recorded everything from pictographs we installed in your store and back in your office. They started recording the day you moved in. That was the 1st of March, wasn't it?
I don't know why you're telling me. I can sue you for that, you know. I can sue you for your last dollar.
All we're concerned with right now is Fred Lawrence. You say you don't know him. Let's have you listen to this. This was reported March 18th in your office. Okay? Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah, Mary. Door? Yeah, sure. Put him on. Hi, Fred. How are you? Good. Everything's fine. No need at all. I know he's all right. Believe me, he's a good kid. Nice. All right, where? Oh, I don't know. It might not be so good if you're sometime here. 8 o'clock, 8:30. Okay, fine. Suppose 8:30 is the night. Bye, friend. Bye.
Mr. Garvey, you recognize that? How about it, Garvey?
I understand they can do clever things with tape recorders nowadays. There's a way of piecing words together, isn't there? They can record your voice and then fix the tape, take a simple sentence and change the words around to mean just the opposite.
You can examine the tape if you like. We didn't make a splice in it. All you'll find is the usual factory splice. It's just the way it comes from the manufacturer.
What difference does it make anyway? There's nothing criminal about that conversation. Nothing at all.
You told us a few minutes ago you didn't know Fred Lawrence. You never heard of him on that recording. It sounds like you know him pretty well.
A fairly common name, wouldn't you say? Must be quite a few Fred Lawrences. I didn't happen to remember the name right off.
How about Tyson?
What?
Tyson. You told us you didn't know him well at all.
I don't.
Well, it didn't sound that way on that tape, did it? You were telling Lawrence that he was all right. You said, believe me, he's a good kid. Know what you said? Now, how about it, Mr.?
How about what? Is this some kind of a frame? What are you trying to make me say?
We're not going to make you say anything, Garvey. We work robbery detail. That's the job, robberies. They pay us to clean them up.
I can pay you.
What?
Never mind. I didn't mean that. I meant I pay my taxes. I pay your salaries. I help to, anyway. I don't know why I have to be treated like this.
No reason to make a big headache out of this for anybody, Garvey. Now, you engineered a holdup. We can prove that. We're giving you a chance to make a statement. That's all we want.
I've got nothing to say. Make a statement about what? All you're going on is hearsay, circumstantial evidence. You can't say I planned that robbery.
Well, you admit you know Tyson. You know him well.
I don't. I admit nothing.
What about phone conversation?
It's a fake. They phoning those things up all the time. You know it as well as I do.
You admitted you know Fred Lawrence. Prove that from the recording.
I admit nothing.
You don't even know Tyson. Is that what you want to say?
I know him, that's all. He worked on my car a couple of times. I don't know him well.
All right, sir. I'd like to pull you into the recording.
It's a waste of time. I haven't got the whole day to spend here. I got to get back to my store. I've got a business to operate.
Well, this won't take very long. Yeah, here we are. April 5th.
A lot of foolishness anyway. How do I know you made those recordings? You could have gotten accurate. Maybe you made them up yourself. There weren't any dictographs. You make those things.
There were dictographs, Mr. Garvey. Remember before you moved into that new suite of offices you had them redecorated?
Yeah.
There were sound technicians from our crime lab out there working side by side with the painters and carpenters. They installed dictographs in your store and back in your offices. They bugged the entire place.
Wiretapping. I'll bring this into court if it's the last thing I do.
Look, now, we already told you, Mr. Garvey, it's not wiretapping. We didn't touch your phone lines. We didn't have to.
Invasion of privacy. I'm going to take this into court.
Yeah, well, let's listen to this recording. Might clear up a few things.
Clear up what? What are you trying to prove?
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, it's coming in here now. Date on this is April 5th.
Yeah, Lenny. Who? Tyson? What, does he know I'm in? Yeah, okay, send him back. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, how are you? Come on in, sit down.
Thanks.
Well, how are you doing anyway?
Pretty good. Trying to get a hold of you last week, it's so hard to do now, didn't very much.
Pretty good, yeah, Tim. Some time of year, you know, it keeps you going.
No, I don't want to waste any time. I'd like to know how the deal's working out, though. Going back east to Albany next month, I'd like to get the rest of my money if I could.
Yeah, just like I told you the last time, Ken, I'm sending the stuff north. I hope to hear in a couple of days.
Yeah, I know. That's what you told me before. It was a pretty heavy job. I could use the money. I mean, if it wasn't so heavy, I wouldn't mind that. I got it coming, I think.
Of course you do, Ken. There's no question there. It's just that I haven't got it right now. Believe me, you'd have it in a minute if it was money again.
No, but that was the agreement, wasn't it? $500 before the job, $500 after, and have them last October, which is a pretty good stretch.
Now, look, Ken, I told you the truth. I just haven't got it. Now, why don't you drop back in a week or so?
How about it, Mr. Garvey? What do you say to that?
It's ridiculous, that's all. It's an obvious fake.
You can look the tape if you like, inspect it. You can check every one of those 25 reels. We'll play every one of them for if you want.
Fakes, and they're bad ones at that. Now, look, I'll give you both a chance. Either you book me in on a charge or else release me. You try booking me in and I'll sue you for false arrest. I'll break you. I'll sue you blind. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
Release me and I'll get back to work. I'll forget all about it. Now, you name it. Which one? Book me in or release me?
Oh, that's fair enough. You're going to give us a choice.
Oh, you bet it's fair. You could get in a lot of hot water. Now, it's up to you. Which one?
You ran a bad bluff, mister.
What?
Or booking you in.
Listening to Dragnet, authentic stories of your police force in action.
Third.
Thursday, 3:55 p.m., Ed Jacobs and I continued questioning the robbery suspect, Ernest Garvey. Despite the evidence at hand, he still refused to admit any knowledge of the $20,000 jewel theft 9 months before. The questioning went on. Garvey's answers became more and more confused. We kept pressing, laying out the case against him step by step. 4 p.m., 4:30. We stayed at it.
He must have taken quite a bit of money, didn't he, Garvey? My wife's new fur coat, new car for yourself. Where'd it come from?
Now, look, there has to be an answer. Where'd that money come from?
Simple, I borrowed it.
Where'd you borrow it?
Some from friends, some from the bank. So I don't see how it concerns you.
How much money did you borrow?
Don't you think that's my business?
Wasn't it about $7,000? Is that about right?
Yeah. No, it was more. Well, what's the difference? It's my business.
You want to grab that folder, Ed? One of the dark brown. That's it.
Got it.
Complete financial file on you, Mr. Garvey. Took us quite a few weeks getting this together. A lot of work.
You must like snooping in other people's affairs.
No, not especially. It's pretty dull. There's a copy of your bank statement. It's photostabbed. Doesn't make much sense.
What do you mean?
Well, we checked your income for that month. Amounted to $620.18. Your bank statement here shows you made deposits totaling $760 the same month. Now, how is that possible?
Well, for your information, I made a loan that month. That's probably some of the loan money I deposited. I quit my old job that time. I was going into business for myself. I needed the money to redecorate the new store and the office. It's simple as that.
Yeah. The photostat's your loan papers right here. The loan was for $2,000.
That's
a month
right.
Before that, February, you'd borrowed from another bank. Let's see. For $3,000. And another one in April, too. That was for $1,500. Different bank again.
That's right. Do we have to go over this line by line?
In 3 months, you made bank loans for $6,500. Besides that, in the same 3 months, you earned a total of $1,713.88. Together, that makes $8,213.88.
What's the point?
Copies of your bank statements, Garvey. You have 5 different savings accounts in 5 different banks. They show from February to April, the same 3 months, you made deposits of more than $11,000. Now, how do you explain that?
Garvey, any explanation?
It's almost 5 o'clock. Can I use the phone? I have to call my wife and let her know.
All right. We'll have to listen in on the extension. Conversation's going to be mine.
Go ahead. I don't care.
Okay. Dial 9 to get an outside line. You only had $8,200. How could you bank $11,000? It had to come from somewhere, didn't it?
Purely a personal matter, that's all. I borrowed $3,000 from a brother of mine who lives back in Minnesota.
You'd already made 3 loans. Why'd you have to borrow from your brother? You mind telling us?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
Well, that still doesn't balance the books, Mr. Garvey. You earned and borrowed $8,200. You got another $3,000 from your brother, you say. That's $11,200. You banked $11,000.
Yes, that's right. You always have to repeat.
That'd leave you with $200. You and your family lived for 3 months on $200, is that
right? Why not? That could easily be. A lot of people do it.
Yes, but not your family.
I'm getting sick and tired of this. You're trying to tell me you know my family better than I do, what they eat, what they spend, what it takes to support them.
We've been on this thing for 9 months, Garvey. We've put in a lot of hours. We know your family pretty well. If you'd like, I'll tell you the last time you ordered steak from the meat market, when you paid your gas bill, the last time your wife bought a pair of shoes.
I guess this is standard procedure for you, threatening people.
We're not threatening you, Mr. Garvey. We're giving you facts.
Here's another file here. It took us over a month to get this one together. Complete record of your expenses from February 1st. Covers February, March, April, May, June.
I hope the police department has a good lawyer, Sergeant. You've got a fair warning.
You say you and your... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I hope the police department has a good lawyer, Sergeant. You've got fair warning. I'm going to sue you for your last dollar.
Now, you say you and your family lived 3 months on $200. That doesn't jive with what we've got here. Take a look if you want. It's
lies, forgeries. It's all lies. I promise you.
Photostat of the receipt for your wife's coat, Garvey. $1,612.34. That includes the tax paid in full. Photostat of the contract for your new car. Down payment, $2,000. Liquor bill for the big party you threw in March, March 20th. Liquor bill, $387. Catering bill, $194. 4 years check for tuition, room and board for your kids at the private school you sent them to, $1,864.07. Well, that's only the beginning, Garvey. Comes to a lot more than $200. Have you heard enough?
I better try to get my wife again. I have to let her know.
Ed, you handle the extension.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Down on you get outside, Garvey.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
talking. Well, I know I'm trying to get her, stupid.
Well, wait a couple of minutes. She'll get through.
She's been on the phone all day long, gab on the phone and play cards. That's all she ever does.
Got some more figures here for you, Garvey. It'd be a good idea if you hear them. Bills for two more parties that drew last month's food bill.
Why do you have to keep pushing that stuff at me? So you've been sneaking around, finding out about my personal affairs. That's supposed to be good police work, is it? This is the
you carried off a robbery, Garvey. We're giving you a chance to make a statement.
Why should I? What for? Give you a statement, have you twisted around, incriminate me? I haven't had anything to do with this kid, Tyson. I better try that call.
Then we'll dial 9 first.
I know. You told me.
What's the matter?
What's the matter with her, stupid chill? I know I'm trying to get her.
What's the matter, Garvey? Don't get down, man.
Lots of money, same thing, all the time. Talk. There's only so much you can take.
You figured the robbery would solve the problem, is that it?
Guess so. I'd have tried anything just to shut her up, get her off my back for a while. I guess you got Tyson out, the other man too, Fred Lawrence.
Yeah, they were picked up this afternoon. Lawrence at the airport, Tyson and Shea downtown, all three, all at the same time.
What about your wife, Garvey? She knew you planned this robbery.
Oh, I didn't tell her. I think she knows, though. Pretty sure she does. Maybe she'll be satisfied now. Lousy money, she had to have it. Didn't even leave me enough to pay off that kid Tyson. Private school for the children. Wall-to-wall carpets in the house. New dishwasher, new coat, new car, everything. She just had to have them. You want to take me? Book me in? I don't care.
All right. We'll stop off down the hall and take your statement.
Sure, I don't care. All right. Let's go.
Awesome.
Hey, just a minute, huh?
Yeah.
Let me take a minute.
The innocent. On November 4th, trial was held in Superior Court, Department 87, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. In a moment, the results of that trial. Ernest W. Garvey and Kenneth Tyson were tried and convicted of first-degree robbery, one count, and received sentences as prescribed by law. Fred Lawrence was tried and convicted of receiving stolen property, one count. First-degree robbery is punishable by imprisonment from 5 years to life. Receiving stolen property is punishable by a prison term of not more than 5 years. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files.
technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Heard tonight were Barney Phillips, Vic Perrin, and Eddie Firestone. Script by Jim Moser. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all king-size cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles. February 18th, hear the Gala City Service Silver Radio Jubilee on NBC.
Welcome back. The heavy in this episode, if we could call this character heavy, was Vic Perrin, who actually heard on Suspense this past weekend. So Perrin was a pretty big character actor in radio. This episode has the TV version, I think, was a little more suspenseful just because you could see the guy sweating more. In some ways, this is the type of episode where you kind of wonder where the drama is, because the fact is when he comes in there, they've got him dead to rights. You know, he's in the door. They've really got the evidence. Whether he gives them a statement or not, he's going to jail. And, you know, I guess there's a couple ways you could look at it. One is that with that last confession from the guy, from the 19-year-old kid they filed to do the crime, most of the stuff that they've done probably is just not going to get presented into court, you know, all of this stuff they did. So it's like somebody needs to appreciate all the work that we went through. Or this could also just be Jack Webb showing us the work that the police go to actually get a solid case. The TV version, the only thing I think the TV version had going for it, is you actually saw the actor really getting to sweat a lot. That was the primary difference. The phone call, but basically being the whole source of drama. And now I think we, provided the phone lines haven't changed, if you are in the interrogation room in the LAPD, you now know for sure that you need to dial 9 to get out. I'll say is one more side here. It's kind of, I don't know, somewhat interesting to hear how much work they made you go through to dial a phone number. I remember a few of those rotary dial phones, and they were always always a pain to use. But they added a little drama that I don't think you would have had with a little bit of drama to the show, and this episode needed all it could get, that you would not get if it was do-do-do-do-do. A lot is built into just dialing this phone, so. All right, well, we will be back next week with another episode of Dragnet. I encourage you, got any comments, feel free to email me, adam@adamsweb.us. For now, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.